I'm reading 1 Peter. I'm not going to stay there, but 1 Peter 4. Keep these in front of you. We work through them. This underlies about everything thinking about and doing as we sum up that year or so of what we've been talking. What's a positive path forward? We're working on these two foci. Shift our focus from personal maturity and growth to building healthy churches. Focus on the roots, not merely the fruit. Okay? So if we do nothing else together, we head in this direct God's goals. Those can be fine-tuned. But we need things like this that are underlying, or you come in here and think it's cold in this building when it's really not. But you think about other things beside God's goals, and you notice who's here and who's not here instead of thinking, why am I here and what am I doing? So we've moved up to the place where we're talking about culture. How do we interact? How do we relate to the culture and in a way that we build a healthy church with strong roots? You're a Christian, then you're part of building in here. What are you building? Your offhand comments, your interaction, your don't worry about that, why do you get so frustrated about that? How do you handle the culture? 1 Peter 4, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. The time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. They malign you. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. If I'm going to read it, go ahead. Take the funnel, and say it seems to be centering where. What do you see? There's obvious, but. All right, what's valued? What's feared? Where's the desire, the focus? What does life look like? What fills your time? What is not so important? Go ahead. Deliberate. All right, deliberate effort or conscious effort. Effort with where focus. What do you got? Those two are both important as we're going to think about culture. A deliberate mindset concerning what is life. No, that's not life. This is life. All right. Okay, we fight at desire level. We fight at desire level, not at rule level. All right? There's a touchy chapter that has to be handled with care that the kids are reading in Transforming Grace, chapter 9. And I'm going to make the case that if they don't have 7 and 8 down, 9 is dangerous. Because 9 is going to talk about well, don't let people tell you that Christians don't do this or that Christians do this, okay? All right. No. Our application of godliness is not godliness. It's underneath that. There's something else running, but it leads to then choices. Okay? That I'm safe up here because the people doing it were in BIC, but somebody's running around asking what everybody did with Harry Potter last week. And I said, stop. We all have different opinions in here on things like that. And somebody's right somewhere, but there's a ton of different pieces that go into that discussion. We're not going to be a church that determines that for people. The same with alcohol. There are things that drive those choices that we need to dig through and pick through, and we need to then make a choice. Don't push people. I learned this as a teenager. Dirk's daughters, they came in, the marriage was falling apart, it was a wreck, but they had made choices with Christian music that I thought were too stiff. And as an immature person who thought he had a lot of answers, I was glad to say, no, all that's bad, but this is fine. I didn't realize it became leverage in the middle of their marriage debates, and because the mother was doing whatever to disagree with whatever Dirk said, she then pushed hard against. Dirk didn't care on where we were, but it was just one more piece to stack the deck, and the kids went not to where we were, but they went beyond that because they didn't get what we're talking about here in 1 Peter 4. But I sure had to defend that how I applied, because my mother wouldn't allow, my dad may allow, and you get lost in the application. This passage is going much deeper than the application. We're talking at desire, but be careful, because if you go around saying, well, no, you're legalistic, it's very important to figure out what we mean by the choices we make. And you can't figure, maybe you haven't thought it all through. You say, look, that's why we've encouraged you to be the best disagreeing member a church has had. One, because you're selfish, and you want everybody to see things like you do. And two, because even when you are trying to follow God, if you're wrong, you better change it at the root level, or you're just going to keep getting whittled away by every jello mold you put yourself in, and you're only going to put yourself in a jello mold that you already agree with. Most churches are filled with people that are in the same direction, and if they're not, they become conformed there. When you change, it's got to be at this level. 1 Peter 4, let people have different applications. If you think they're wrong, they may be wrong, but they have to get there this way. They have to get there this way. What we're talking about here in 1 Peter 4, the same, that you know, and that's, I can bring up 5 more touchy subjects, okay? That's why, do we want you here at church all the time the doors are open? Yep. Do you get it? Do you think the same thoughts that I do as to why you should be here? Nope. Well, then if you're not here, okay. That's what should you be? Maybe. We figure it out. There's a long path to figuring out. You have to understand the mission, or else you'll only focus on the application. I'm here. Are you happy? Okay. So, and they go, no, but you got to see it my way. That's a lot of pressure. Think on the other side what happens if we always determine our limits. It's a gift to have other people at other places calling us. And again, I'm sorry, in a small church, I'm a big fish, but I think we need to look, what is the structure of a church that God set up? All right? whether it's a big church or small church. It's very subtle. Even if a church is out of line with its structure, of which a pastor, elders are part, it's got to change slowly. You'll see that when churches shift, when the pastor changes, it's not a healthy church. If it did this, all of a sudden you have a pastor change, and now we do this. Why? Why did it change? How did it change? These are the kind of things we're talking about at a culture level. Jim. Okay. Okay. All right. Not looking to self to complete identity. Okay? Will of God. All right? That you feel that. You feel the will of God in here. You don't say, and that's the reason I brought up some of those other issues. One, because they're touchy. But two, thinking how they change. Okay? Okay? The reason I said we want you to service is the service should fit into the mission. If it doesn't fulfill the mission anymore, we shouldn't have the service. If you don't get the service, then you're not getting the part of the mission that it's fulfilling. If you eliminate a service here, how do you pick up whatever you took out and accomplish it in a different way? All right? The will of God. See, you play that out inside this passage. You look everywhere and you say, when you're focused on Christians do this, Christians don't do this, Christians do, why do Christians do and not do that? You feel in this passage, the will of God is the running water, is the moving stream in here, right? It's very important. With will of God, you can either feel he's a dictator, tyrant, or all this stuff, or you want to be there. We're talking desire level in here. God changes. He's not settling for you to go, oh, he's Hitler, get on the train, we're going to Auschwitz, okay? He's saying we live for the will of God from the inside out. So all the energy, the no and yes is going because I want. Think what you see your kids stomping and snorting when they're having a bad attitude, okay? And why are they stomping? Because you've gone too far. The kid is telling the parent, you've gone too far. And that's where you've got to determine, you say, who gets to determine? And choose your battles, parents. You can't win them all. You've got to go after the heart slowly and say, there it is again. We're going to let that one go. But there's something at heart level that you need to look again. There's something at heart level. If they cannot slowly find you, say, all right, I get it. We're missing each other. I'm not communicating. I'm not God. But your character will be built if you look for where I'm going, child. Look. Until we find each other, there's going to be conflict. Your job is to look. If you don't teach them to look, it isn't about you. You might be dead wrong. If they aren't willing to look for you, they're not going to look further for God. They're going to assume God and they are just fine. Anything else in this passage, Vanya? Yes, I'm coming back to that. Hold it, please hold it, because I'm coming. All right, we're done with this fat verse? We found enough? Okay, so now we come up here. What would need to be lifted up if we want to build healthy churches with strong roots and how we relate to culture? All right, my point with doing the verses, and that's why I go back and forth. I said we weren't going to talk about it, and then we did. It has to be anchored in God's Word. I want you, when you're reading your devotions, to not look for passages that are specifically talking. This one was on culture, but last week we did Psalm 16. And I want you to be able to see wherever God is, okay, what am I learning about God? What is it telling me about myself? And then look for, we're so in a culture of I'm not you and you're not me and that's okay. Okay, but if we fellowship with God is important, we're in bed, we're together with God. Every desire he has, you're going to feel the impact of, and Christians love it. That's why I think when we've been left alone to determine our own boundaries as Christians, okay, it's going to always feel like people are squeezing in on us, okay? when you look at God's word, if it feels like it's squeezing in on you, you might have to shake free for a little while, but you say, Lord, don't let go of me until I love your commands. I love your commands. Okay? Well, here's where we come back to this question. I'm going to let Vanya answer in a minute, but the next part, I'm sorry, all right. The next part was this, and you can say what you were thinking, Vanya. I want us to build the biblical value side, all right? We could go further with this cultural values on the left side, okay? I want us to answer what anything that you can think of from the bottom, just simple. You see it on the left? Well, you better think about this on the right, okay? Because if we're not including these things, we can go talk endlessly on the right, but I want to answer what the left is saying, because if we don't include some of that in the culture of a church, I don't care. This is what blew me away as I've been thinking as we get back to why Future Grace for 8 years and why I told you the story. It was like, whoa, this is way bigger than just other churches aren't agreeing with me, and am I an oddball, or am I right, or are you right, or who's right? I'm starting to see that whatever they did with the charismatic gifts, they still acted this way. Whatever they could be Reformed or Arminian, but they still acted this way. Women pastors or no, right? All these things that Christians are, right? You know, dress up, dress down, right? What services, small groups, whatever. It didn't matter. There were still things that were characterizing all of them. And it comes to culture, meaning don't push me became a thing in all the churches. Don't push me. It's none of your business. Don't, just because you think so doesn't mean it has to be for me. Okay, but the tone that you're saying it, something seems to be missing the character of God. All right? Everybody's gossiping. Oh, well, we're all talking. What are you implying? That they're against you? Or are they for God? What does it look like to notice you? Do you really think that people notice you should see only the good parts of you? What are your bad parts? What does God think are your bad parts? Not what does everybody else think? What are you doing about them? Is there humility? So we want to answer the biblical side to what the left side is saying. But Vanya, what are you thinking? Wherever it fits.
Well, if the guy said before we raise it, right?
Go.
We think that God's will and God's commands are synonymous, and that what pleases him is what he wants us to do. Obviously, we don't always know what he wants us to do.
Fine. Okay, God's words are reality and life, freedom, purpose,
hope,
healing. Follow them. Okay? Okay, that looks like just Bible-ese, but you need to think through what we're saying here. Would that be, where does this fit? I'm seeing it all over Acts, right? They go to city to city, and what do? They preach the word. When they finally settle down here, I think I'm going to say it here again, before they go off on the second missionary journey, after they get this conflict resolved, what do? And it said, and they preached and taught the word for an extended time. What? The word. That if you're not careful, it's just knowledge. It's a lecture. But if his words are reality, then those words have implications. It's not just vacuum. All of a sudden, you're thinking that he created order. He created, and therefore, don't your rules, your standards aren't what his words are, but his words all have a worldview. They all have a worldview. You know, as much as possible, be at peace with all men. As much as possible. Well, then you go, well, if I say this, they're going to say this, and it's not going to be peace, so therefore I stop. And you go, no, no, no. If I take away his truth, right? You know, I'm weird, right? So I think, so if you determine your house is on fire, because I was always afraid, that was one of my things, that the house is always going to catch fire. But what happened if I wake up and realize the house is on fire? I think, well, you know what? I'm going to just sleep for 30 more seconds and pretend it's not. I could get 20 of those seconds, I think. 20, 21, 20. What? It would verify whether it's on fire, yeah. No, but I think those, I can live in another reality, right, with that? I've thought of that when I'm driving through the night. I think, can I just close my eyes for 5 seconds? 1, 2, 3. See? Right? Yeah, see? There you go. There you go. Right? Don't worry. I haven't done that. See, I have crazy thoughts. You never have crazy thoughts? No, not suicidal thoughts, just crazy thoughts. Okay? But that's what he's saying. These words live. If there's something there, you go, well, that's obvious. Duh. You get out of the house, it's burning, right? But remember, that's what he said. You're afraid of this, you should be afraid of this, right? And what he's saying is, you're not giving this weight. You're over here worrying about this. Give this weight, these words. And then, but we're not just saying hell, all right? You go to hell. You're going to get punished, all right? The kid's working through that we're just doing three chapters here, 7, 8, and 9 in Bridges Transforming Grace, okay? And it's not careful. We feel that. God's upset. I disobeyed. Yes. There's another but. We are not in the flesh. We are in the spirit. Therefore, his words are not just, even when they're corrective, even when they are condemning, it's cleaning out the pus. He disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. They are life, freedom, purpose, hope, healing. Follow them. All of those words. We have to believe that, because otherwise we go, yada, 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 leave me alone. Right? I used to be in a church that believed this. Now I believe in a church that does this. But the same thing is there. Don't tell me what to do. Right? See, you're looking for those underlying things. You think, no, I'm reasonable. The Lord changed my mind on this and this and this. It was all out at the surface. His words are reality. Okay, can you answer any more of on the left? You go, okay, but God says. Sandy? Okay, suffering, valuable because, no, suffering or inevitable, no. Yeah, it is all these things, but I guess what I'm going is, safe and happy and fulfilled is with Jesus, right? So just kind of like that psychology example from years ago. I can't even remember who it was. But remember, you put the rat on this side, you put the treat on the other side, you put electric shock in the middle. How much shock will the rat endure to get to the other side to get what it wanted? That was psychology 101, okay? One of them. Who knows which one? You know, Maslow. I can't remember which one that had that thing. And they kept finding that the more they wanted something, the more they would endure a shock to get to the other side. Now, for us, you go, that's sick. You're making pain. But I'm saying if God says the world is at enmity with him, right? If they call the head of the household Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? He's not saying, I want war. He said he didn't come to condemn the world, but the world might be saved. John Bunyan's other book is called The... His other book is called The Holy War. His other book, The Holy War, The War for Man's Soul. Okay, Pilgrim's Progress, but go read the other book, the holy war. Okay? He came in there when we had made ourselves enemies of him. He came to bring peace. Okay? So whatever we're going to say here is you have found your happy, fulfilled, safe with him. So therefore, anything else is part of it. It's not enjoyable, but it's part of it. Suffer, valuable and evil because maybe what I'm looking for, if you can fix this, say it. Suffering diminished because of satisfaction, contentment with fellowship with God. It's like, I don't know, I'm following this. I'm following contentment with God. So therefore, suffering diminished. Jonathan, where are you going? Yeah. Yeah. There you go. That. That. Ultimate, unchanging, standard, not basis for our security. Let's try that. We're going to dance here, and I might not see. You're going to have to dance because it's. You know what I was thinking is, okay, you know, so what should think of the pressure of early dating relationships? You know, go from arranged marriages to, you know, democracy. You all choose, just, you know, put guys and girls all in a group and see what happens. And so you date, try. Oh no, we do courting now. Oh wait, courting. That was sin. That was stifling. Go back to dating. Oh no, let's go back to arranged marriage. Right? It's running cycles. You watch people and you go, All right, wait, you wanted to get rid of the rules. Okay, there's no rules. And you go, okay, there's got to be rules. But whose rules? Okay, and then, well, what's the goal? You lost the goal. Okay, so do you ever realize whatever grid you put over, where do people's feelings fit in? You go, well, they're not ultimate. You're right, they're not ultimate, but the feelings are saying something, okay? And then now you go, what happens if they don't like me? Do you like me? Do I like you? You go, well, you have to, you're a pastor. I go, well, you have to like me too. You go, no, I don't like you. I tolerate you, all right? Do you like your car mechanic? Well, you're a pastor, all right? Get a different car mechanic, all right? Wait, I'm a person too. So is your car mechanic. You're a person. When's the last time you thought of that as you checked out your groceries, all right? You go through the awkward. Should you look at them or should you not? Should you look down? Should you talk to them or should you not? Is that weird to talk to them? What should you talk to them about? No, it doesn't always have to be Jesus and a verse. They are a person. So how are you handling the person? Okay? Where are we going with that? Then we're saying that while we talked about dating relationships, look at all the pressure. Whatever grid you put, look at all the pressure you're putting on the boy or the girl to go, I am safe inside of this relationship. Safe to do what? What they want to do? Do you want your kid to do what they want to do? Do you want somebody else's kid to do what they want to do with your kid? Okay. Well, then how you handle those desires is pretty important. Here, what happens? And this is what you're looking at. When I say I hope we're the best disagreeing member a church has ever had, I'm safest with you if you look to God. Not if it's dependent on what you think of me, because that'll change. I don't live up to myself, let alone I don't live up to what you think is right. I'm not safe with you. It will not last if it's dependent on, oh, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Even if I say I'm sorry to what you say I sinned or I believe I sinned, is that's not a strong enough tie to hold me together. I can be condemned. Right? Here's what he said. The condemnation has been taken care of. Therefore, we're not obeying, because if I don't obey, that's why I brought up dating. You feel very much, right, that the one you dated is not the one you married. Why? Because the one you dated is trying so hard to make this work. Right? If you're not careful, we all date God's standard. And you feel like if I do one too many, I'm done. He's going to go on to bigger and better people. Uh-uh. There's something changed. So his ultimate standard, and this is what Bridges was very good with this in chapter 7 and 8, saying, talking about speed limit signs. You check it out. The kids are going to be talking about this this week. The white laws to be obeyed, the yellow signs are advisory signs, okay? When you got saved, all of God's standards don't become advisory signs. But if you had to keep them all perfectly, you're living under condemnation. What Jonathan played out is saying that whole thing of she loves me, she loves me not, is gone. The motivation for obedience changed. John? Okay.
The choice of safety, the choice of what we're going to do.
Right. Right. So if the culture values choice, we all realize that, and this isn't just to win that war. You realize when they want everybody to have the freedom to make a choice, you realize whoever hangs around them is going to have to follow their choices. Right? So really what we're choosing is who we have to deal with. Why does this matter so much? Because you can't be with Christ and not deal with me. Me, John David. Not just me, a pastor somewhere, okay? I can't. If you're safe with me dealing, not with you and I agreeing or understanding or maybe driving each other nuts, that may be a case, but you're safe saying there is another Christian I'll have to deal with. Why? Because I can't deal with Christ without dealing with you. Right? He's saying some of the freedom of choices comes, that the choices are already made for us. I could say I'm mad at you. I could say I'm hurt by you. I could say I'm frustrated with you, but I have to deal with you. That choice is off the table if I follow him. Okay? You can follow that out. See, all those things that I scared you to death before I take your kid away. All right? The older I get, the more afraid I am of giving you your kid back safely. All right? The older I get. So it is a big deal for me. And in fact, those are the things that make me feel old and go, I wish somebody else would kill your child, not me. Okay? So jokingly, I've said, don't worry. If you're afraid for your kid's death, your kid is on the no-death list. My kids are on the they-will-die list, all right? But not your kid. But then in there, how do you keep those kids alive? How do you keep those kids alive? You know, after a while, you realize there's too many ways to die. I can't. You might have done this. They might have done this. They might have done this. Lord, would you direct the things that we're valuing here so that in that spectrum, all right, that we are free to live while you are over life and death? He's saying the choices, some of them are taken care of for us. So you kept your kid home because you didn't trust that John David closed his eyes in the middle of the night when he's driving. Okay, and your kid tripped, fell, hit their head, and they're in the hospital. All right, and you know, it goes on and on. He's saying some of the choices are taken out of our hands by following him, Vanya. Right.
Reality.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance I'm going to make it out of the building, but right now I'm in a burning building. That's what's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, burning building meaning sin.
Got it.
The actual reality that I'm living in. And so for me, the thing is, I need to be like, okay, here's the thing. I have all these temptations, these day to day, these sinful things. Let me try, and I've had this conversation with a reasonable amount. Let me try to take. Let's say I follow these sinful things. Forget about.
Mm-hmm. First Peter 4, right?
Let's see if I can. Let's see what happens.
Fine.
But I need to make sure that I truly value truth and I truly want to make it out alive. Because otherwise that won't work. Because otherwise I'll evaluate everything out, evaluate. I'm like, oh, you're right. That isn't right. But then I'll still do it anyway. And the alternative is I follow my sin. I get burned. I'm like, oh, okay, I got it. So now I'm gonna change up what I'm gonna do. So, but the maturity, if I do the mature thing and I follow it down to truth, and I'm like, okay, you know what? No, this is all vanity. This is all vanity. God is the actual thing that is important right now. Once you do that, once you're able to say that there's nothing else, obviously, you're still in the burning building. Obviously, you're still going to have to try to make it out alive and everything like that. But once you can do that, then you can start thinking about how you... can't just understand right away how sinful you are. I think that you gradually understand how much judgment you actually deserve. And so because of that, it allows you to be repentant every single day and drop to your knees consistently and obey in the moments like that. I'm not very good. Maybe it's my youth. Maybe it's whatever it is. I'm not very good at living in the light of eternity. I don't know how to do that because I fail to do it every single day. Sometimes when I'm, you know, at night, I'm laying in bed, I'm thinking about hell or the fear of that, whatever. But normally, I don't do that. Normally, I still snap at my siblings. I still talk back to my parents, whatever it is. And so, and that's for me, that's what it is. It's understanding that when God says something in the Bible, and if God is truth, when he says something in the Bible, he's thinking about the whole reality he created. He's thinking, when he gives these commands to whatever it is, whatever the command is, he's thinking about the whole, the whole thing. We're not even realizing how his commands play out in his reality.
Okay. So it's the burning building. You know that I've told you my new thing to focus on at the with the youth group or my own children is immature maturity. Immature maturity. When you're looking for maturity right away, you realize what you're doing to everybody. You say you want their inside to change, but if their outside doesn't look like you think it should look like right away, then you immediately get all over them to fix their outside. Well, then what do? They get trained to fix their outside and never change their inside. You say, well, you can't let it all go. No, but you got to be very careful with what you're doing and what rules, or Bridges called them fences, you're putting up. That even when you put fences, no, they better learn to listen because. Why? Not because you're God. But you've been entrusted in the middle to show them God. You can't show them God if they always have to understand why. Do you know why? Because even if they agree with you, they followed your worldview. When we follow God's worldview, you're never going to understand it fully. He goes, maybe I should look further, but I don't. Well, then we're saying, I got to find it all out the hard way. All right, look further. That's the opposite of now. But find it out the hard way? It isn't ultimately about you, right? In his presence are pleasures forevermore, okay? Psalm 16:11. Yeah, fullness of joy. Yeah, in your presence are pleasures forevermore, all right? That fullness of joy. So you're looking to God, not merely your benefit. Who is the person that comes to your mind that you honestly think has the most servant mentality? They might actually be just glad for you to be satisfied. They're not pandering to you. They're not, whatever word you want to use, doing it so that you'll give them praise. It's just who they are. They're not groveling. They're not whatever. They're just free to serve you. Who comes to your mind? Don't say it. That you think, I don't know, they're not perfect, but it just seems they're just always serving, and they're okay with it. They're glad to. All right? That attitude is Philippians 2. He emptied himself, what? To do the will of the Father. We became the recipients of that. But it was a mindset. And here, how is God glorified? You say, well, yes, when I put him first, then he, what? Then I find out he was right. Then I'm saved from all these bad things. No. Yes, but no. There's something higher than that. You live to please God. We've been working on that in 1 Timothy. But back to what Jonathan said, you don't please God or he's going to be ticked. Please ticked. There's consequence. He can change your heart so that you want to. So if you didn't please, he's not pandering us. Oh, did I not give you what you want today? No, his standard doesn't move. He continues loving us in a godly way. If you love me in a godly way, I'm not only safe, I've been abundantly blessed, right? You don't do that. I don't do that to you. But if we're going to fight the culture level, we have to look further than what we're thinking about of, well, I'll find out. Oh, you were right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I got burned. And you have to look to God, not merely, I didn't get burned. I didn't get burned. I didn't get burned. Right? So I got new drivers on the road as we go down there. Okay. You know what that means? You know, well, the panic level went down as we went along. Okay. But then, you know, we have this big question, all right? If you're going fast, do you slow down because there was the policeman? And put the brakes on. Don't put the brakes on when you see the policeman. You just let off the accelerator. Just keep going. All right, but then the question is, so how much is godly? Should you go 2 miles over, 3 miles over, 4 miles over, 6 miles over, 11 miles over, 3 miles under? In this condition, when you really have to go to the bathroom, you can go 15 miles over. But, you know, do you see? There, all of a sudden, you're making all these kind, and you go, you know what? Let's just leave that between us and God. Yeah, okay, good. But all of a sudden, the policeman's there, and all of a sudden, it ain't just between you and God. You all of a sudden, you go, well, I wonder, because nobody wants to have that little special meeting, right? If you're not careful, God's just like the policeman, all right? No. You don't live in fear of it like a policeman. On the other side,
It does. It matters. You want to please him. Ephesians 5:10. Anything else? About who? Go. Blessings, unshakable, from now to eternity. Who should be in a nursing home and who shouldn't? However you answer that question, and there's so many pieces in there, you all realize that there's more and more of those homes, more and more people in there. I look at the people that seem the loneliest. You know, the ones that may not have put up with anything before, but are seem to be willing to tolerate anything. They just want to talk. And I wonder, who do they wish was with them? And you go, well, no, they don't wish. There was nobody. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That they're starved for something, and there's nobody in their world. I'm not saying everybody can and should drop everything to go there. I'm just wondering who that would be. What are we saying here? In thy presence is fullness of joy. All right, I told you I was going to read this. We need to be done. We could go on and on. The goal is that you continue talking about this stuff. People aren't here today. Do you realize you are this church? We're not the only church. We're not the best church. We are a church, just like your household. You walk in, and even though there's a doormat that said everybody's welcome, there's certain people that belong there. Right? You are this church. This has to be disseminated amongst us, talked about, wrestled with. We're not all going to come to agreement, but you need to own this discussion. What does it look like? So, meaning, keep talking. In praise of the boring, uncool church. I'm just going to start. I'll finish it next week. Okay? By now, well, it says Hillsong, once a leader of Christian cool, loses footing in America. Okay? Hillsong. You don't know yet, that's Darlene Check, Shout to the Lord, all right, years ago, and now just tons of stuff, like Elevation Church. So, Hillsong, once a leader of Christian cool, loses footing in America. By now, headlines like this one from a March 29 New York Times article by Ruth Graham have become sadly predictable. It seems almost every leader of Christian cool, whether a tattooed celebrity pastor or a buzzy nightclub church, flames out and loses its footing fairly quickly. Which is not at all surprising. By their very nature, things that are cool are ephemeral. What's fashionable is, by the necessity of the rules of fashion, quickly obsolete. This is one of many reasons why chasing cool is a fool's errand for churches and pastors, as I argue in my book, Hipster Christianity, When Church and Cool Collide. If you prioritize short-term trendiness, your ministry impact will likely be short-lived. If you care too much about being relatable and attractive to the fickle tastes of any given generation or cultural context, the transcendence of Christianity and the prophetic power of the gospel will be shrunk and shaped to the contours of the zeitgeist. Zeit is the time period. Zeit is time. And the atmosphere. Relevance-focused Christianity sows the seeds of its own obsolescence, its own death. It's going to be made obsolete. It's a bad idea. It rarely ends well. From the Mars Hills to the Hillsongs and countless others, it's tragic to see churches fail, however predictable and ill-advised the cool church may be. We don't rejoice over this. We should lament and learn. What are the lessons? For one, these headlines ought to remind us that relevance is no substitute for reverence, and indeed may compromise it. Relevance may compromise reverence. The Christian life shouldn't be oriented around being liked. It should be oriented around loving God and loving others. Far more important than being fashionable is being faithful. Far more crucial than keeping up with the Joneses is staying rooted in God's unchanging word. Things like confession and repentance, daily obedience to the whole counsel of Scripture, and quiet commitment to spiritual disciplines aren't cutting edge and won't land you in a GQ profile about hype priests. But these are the things that make up a healthy, sustainable, long obedience in the same direction, faith. With every hip church that closes and celebrity pastor who falls, more and more Christians are hopefully waking up to this fact. Maybe boring, uncool, unabashedly churchy church is actually a good thing. Maybe a Christianity that doesn't appeal to my consumer preferences and take its cues from Twitter is exactly the sort of faith I need. I'm late. I will finish next Sunday. Lord, would you help us?